Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today's topic is called Power Patterns in the Natal Chart. So we're going to take a look at certain patterns we can adhere to understand our power, our self-esteem, our glory, and this God syndrome we all have inside of us. So a good show for those of you looking for power. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this topic has been waiting for a long time to come to this show, Power Patterns in the Natal Chart. There's really a lot of different ways you can find power in the natal chart. Frankly, if you have certain numbers in your chart, like 0, 5, 10, 15, and anything from 20 to 29, tend to be either more powerful, more evolved, or easier as far as planetary energies that you have earned in past lives. And this has come from my own research and study, of course. But I have found that people seem to make it easy and become more metaphysical when they have planets at 0, 5, 10, 15 of any sign, and then from 20 up to 29 of any sign. That seems to be an area that is filled with power. That's point number one. A lot of other things we like to look at when we look at a natal chart to check out past life karma, to see what we've done with ourselves. If you have a planet in your chart that has a lot of aspects on it, I would say that has two or more aspects on it, then you better believe there was a focus on that particular planetary energy in a past life. Now, I have two planets in my chart. I like to use myself as an example. My moon has four squares on it, and my Jupiter has four trines on it. Those are power points. Whenever you have planets that what we call over-aspected planets, then that means there's a focus on that particular energy. Now, if you do have a planet that has a lot of squares or a lot of trines, a lot of sextiles, or a lot of oppositions on it, that's good. That's good. Now, I'll tell you why. Trines and sextiles in abundance on one or more of your planets is like getting a wild card. Have you ever played a game before and someone, you know, all of a sudden you get the wild card and it's like, I can really party with this turn, right? Well, those of you that have the trines and sextiles on one or more planet definitely get a wild card. It can even make you lazy. Now, this is a power point that can support your growth and rehabilitation and your evolution if you know how to use it. Frankly, I love the squares and oppositions more. When you have three or four squares or oppositions or a combination of two or more squares or oppositions on one planet, then we focus on a life lesson, on a life experience, on a life karma, on something that we need to let go of and overcome in order to be the phoenix, in order to rise from the ashes and to survive and succeed. Now, if you had a chart, I used to know a guy that had nothing in his chart but sextiles and conjunctions, no squares, no trines, no oppositions. I thought, wow, this guy had a real routine life. Let me tell you, up in the morning, coffee, go to work, sleep, whatever. Not much happened in his life, you know, and his chart was the same way. I thought, why would this guy be born during such a mundane time astrologically? So it really is strange, and I wouldn't want to have a chart like that. And when I first got into astrology, people used to look at my chart and they go, oh, Farley, four squares on your moon. Ooh, how obnoxious, how weird. And it's true. You know, I've come from a period where I have been obnoxious and I have been egocentric and I have been arrogant and conceited and competitive and selfish and indulgent and also jealous and vindictive and all those things that an obliterated Scorpio moon would be. But look at me now. I'm still partially all that stuff, but I've come far, and I wouldn't have come so far unless I would have been shown the right way to go from falling down a few times. So if you look at your chart and you see an area of your chart that is heavily afflicted with squares and oppositions, embrace it. Because what this means is that you are special. First of all, a person with a heavily afflicted chart is going to be the type of person that would have had lots of past life involvement, lots of past life choices, and may have affected the lives of many people. So the chances of you being famous or being infamous or being out in front of the public eye with a heavily afflicted chart are more in your favor, okay, because that's a power pattern. And I want you to know that people with power patterns are the ones that make it in this world. For better or for worse, they end up in front of the TV camera, the movie camera, the microphones, in jail, whatever. It's power. Okay, so when you do see you have a heavy affliction in your chart and you're okay, you know, like if you look at yourself in the mirror and your self-esteem is checked and you have good, decent friends, a decent job, not too many bills, a roof over your head, you're healthy, you're happy, a decent relationship or whatever, you're centered, you're balanced, you are in bliss and a happy state, you've made it. See, it's people that have heavy afflictions in their chart that are stuck in cocaine and marijuana and alcohol and horrible negative relationship patterns and depression and fear of commitment, fear of dignity and fear of honor, low self-esteem, low self-love. They're the ones that are still trying to reach the Phoenix state, okay? And those of you that do have power patterns in your chart will remember when you did get tortured, when you did get crucified, when you did get butchered, you know, by yourself or loved ones, and when you were pretty much in a position of total self-destruction. I have some friends of mine that are in their 20s, okay? And I look back when I was in my 20s, if I grew up in the same generation as these folks, they would not be my friend, because they would look at me in my 20s at the same age they're at, and they'd think, what a sad case this guy is. He's conceited, he's arrogant, he's got low self-esteem, he's got a ton of bad habits, and he's indulgent, and he's also selfish and everything else. And I take a look at these folks that are around me as my friends and such now in their 20s, 20 to 29 or such, and they are so well developed, they are so spiritual, they are so sober and centered and active and on such a highly evolved path. You know what that tells me? It tells me that we must be running out of time, because the generations are catching up with us. That means smarter souls, more evolved souls, have been being born in babies since the 40s. And I'm not putting down people born before the 40s, but children and young folks are developing quite rapidly right now, and they're also working out their karma, and they're also reaching the Phoenix state and plugging into the power patterns in their chart much quicker than a lot of us who were lost souls in the 60s and 70s as hippies, Vietnam generation people that were trapped in the free love generation, and you know, just all these issues and values that were upon us that confused us. Many of us in our 30s and 40s now are just surfacing and coming out of the water and being reborn. And in comparison, if you know anybody in their 20s that are sober, that are spiritual, that are astrological and metaphysical and do meditate, then this will give you a sign that the age of Aquarius is upon us. Because the symbol of the clarity of the younger generations becoming smarter and more aware and more evolved is the symbol that the Piscean veil is being lifted. See? Whereas in the olden times, people that had power patterns in their chart, cultural situations and lack of technology and lack of speed of growth for civilization helped actually prevented and limited people from plugging into self-realization. You know, in olden times, let's face it, getting some food, getting some shelter, some clothing, and staying alive and staying healthy were vital points. Now, with modern holistic medical techniques and spiritual and meditative training, we're able to overcome a lot of that, so our survival rates are higher. Our longevity is extended, and we are allowed at a very young age to evolve, plug into these power patterns. If you are a young person and you do plug into a power pattern in your chart, you can overcome it at a lot quicker pace than I would have. See, because I didn't even get into astrology, really, until I was about 25. A lot of you out there that are 20, 22, 19, 18, you know your rising signs, you know your moons, you know you have afflicted Mars in the fourth house with a Saturn square on it, you know what it means. So, you know, the world is moving at a rapid pace, and it does tell me, it does alert me that we are on the verge of massive world changes, earth changes and whatever. And a long time ago, a very, very powerful psychic and medium, Dana Marshall, used to tell me, you know what, Farley, if Mount Vesuvius erupts and if Mount Etna erupts, and if there's a devastating earthquake in Japan, in Tokyo, and then another devastating earthquake in LA, those will be the signs that that the major world changes, economic, political, institutional, financial, religious, spiritual, whatever, whether they're land changes or whether they're just mental, psychological, and emotional changes, these will all be upon us. And you know what that means? That means if you are a person that has power patterns in your chart and you know it, you know, having a power pattern in your chart is one thing. If if you don't know it, you could be a mess. Because obviously, when I had my Scorpio moon with four squares on it, I was frightened during my childhood. I was very lonely. I had very low self-esteem. And I was a nervous wreck. As a little boy, you know, even though I had fun and people thought I was happy, I really down deep wasn't. I was scared. And that's because I had that Scorpio moon and no one told me. If somebody sat me down when I was three and said, Farley, you have an ill-placed moon in your chart. You have Pluto square moon and Sun square moon, Mercury square moon, Saturn square moon, and this makes you just a tad sensitive, and we'll try to be nice to you and create a positive, loving, caring environment, not much yelling or screaming. But no, no one told me. Instead, the yelling and the screaming and the freaking out, and everybody's nervous and worried, and that, you know, really postpones your growth and compounds your stress. And as far as I'm concerned, and you know, if you do find out you have a power pattern in your chart, like you do have a heavily afflicted planet or a heavily trined or squared planet in your chart, and you do have lots of 20s in your degrees, or 5, 10, 15, or 0 planets, and your life is a mess, you do worry, you are negative, you are self-destructive, then as far as I'm concerning, you're postponing your growth. Now, what's all about this growth stuff? I'll tell you. You cannot have growth unless you pinpoint what the problem is. You know, you have to pinpoint what your problem is, and then you have to process it. And then after you've processed it, you reach a level that is called completion. Now, when you've processed enough of the garbage that you have accrued and compounded from having these power patterns that make you oversensitive and frightened and competitive and conceited and selfish and scared and just freight trainish, you know, as far as running over people for your goals and for your career and such. If you don't recognize that you have these power patterns, then how are you supposed to process it? I mean, I went through so much group therapy with my sister when she was learning to be a therapist. I decided, what the heck? You know, I was laughing and crying and getting the chills and dumping all this stuff and processing stuff when I was 21, 22, 23, that took me 5 or 6 years to get through that muck of negativity that had compounded from me taking everything personal, from having a power pattern in my chart I knew nothing about. Then I looked at that chart when I learned about astrology and I thought, wow, I'm too sensitive. Whoa, I'm being too negative. Oh, I'm too depressed. I'm taking everything personal. I got to turn this around. First of all, I got to find out what's bothering me. Well, the relationship with my parents, relationship with my family, dealing with my friends, business and career, my own self-esteem and attitude on myself, my personal problems with substance abuse, you know, running and escaping away from reality because I didn't want to confront it. Those were all symptoms of having a power pattern in the chart that I wouldn't recognize. Well, what does Scorpio mean? Scorpio is transition. You must adapt, process, reach completion, and that's how you evolve. So you can take any pattern in your chart, especially heavy afflicted planets, zero in on what it means, and as part of today's topic, what we do find here is we do find that so many of us with Cancer planets, for example, or heavily afflicted moons like I have, like Moon square Neptune, which people are living into total fog dream state, we don't like to let go of our dirty past. It is the haunting past that we carry around with us in a sack, because we have nothing to replace it with, or we're frightened to replace it with anything new because we're afraid it might not be near as good. Because, see, everything in the past has a positive and negative attachment to it. A lot of things are real negative because they have like a no way subscript attached to it, which means there's no way that this is going to happen in your life. It's been fun, it's been nice, it's been partial, but it's a chapter that must be closed. So a lot of us with afflicted Cancer planets and afflicted moons, squares and oppositions, refuse to let go of these chapters. We don't process them. We don't reach completion. And therefore, we can't reach high levels of self-esteem, high levels of self-realization, high levels of awareness, and basic happiness, bliss patterns in our life, because we allow our past and negative elements to haunt us and to haunt our growth and to haunt our productivity. And what happens is we get involved with new people, and because we haven't seen a therapist, because we haven't been meditating, because we haven't processed this garbage, because we do have so many power patterns in our chart, we are powerful, and this energy comes out on new people as all these problems that we have in our life. And all of a sudden we're talking about, well, Michael this, and Bonnie that, and Barbara this, and they're sitting there going, I think this person needs a major shrink here. They haven't processed Bonnie or Barbara or Bill or any of these people that, you know, like, before I reached completion, I thought to myself, well, Farley, let's take a look at how you relate to people. Well, when I'm going out on dates with new people, I'm talking to them about my dad and the problems I had with my dad and career. Or I'm talking to them about all the relationships I've dealt with that haven't worked, that I haven't completed because I have something fun with each and every one of them. Well, you know, talk about boring. You know, there's so many other things you can talk about other than your own therapeutical problems that need to be processed and completed, either unto yourself, with the therapist, through meditation, or whatever. Once again, we go back to identification of the problem, recognizing it, blessing it, letting it go. That means clearing it out of your life, then going through the crying or the laughing or the emotional process you need to rebirth and evolve into a new being, into a more centered, stable, powerful being that says, wow, even though I have a moon square Pluto or a moon square Neptune, and usually I've been a dreamer or an idealist that thinks the impossible really could happen, now I am finally in a state where I realize that the impossible doesn't have to happen for me to be happy, because I've got me, and that's enough to make me happy, you know? So, you know, take a look at stuff in your chart. Now, frankly, if you have power patterns in the fixed signs, if you have heavy afflicted patterns in Leo, Taurus, Scorpio, or Aquarius, dignity is the issue. And oftentimes, if our dignity is hurt, then we don't like to admit failure. We don't like to admit that we've been trod upon. We don't like to admit that we have been misbehaving, bossy, arrogant, selfish, or conceited. What we do is we also like to hold on to these negative patterns in our lives because we're frightened to admit that it's over. Okay? If you have mutable afflicted planets in your chart, meaning Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, then usually you're so frightened and sensitive and vulnerable that once again, you lack the ability to make a commitment. You lack the ability to adhere to either committing to ending a chapter in your life or committing to beginning a new one. So a lot of people with these heavily afflicted planets in the mutables are frightened, they're confused, they'll oftentimes say, oh no, I don't want a commitment there, or oh no, I don't want to work this part of my life out yet, I'm not ready to do that, and so that's another thing. And then the afflicted cardinal planets, we're talking Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn blocks. If you have afflicted blocks, squares and oppositions in those areas, this is the freight train to hell. These are people that try to load up their lives, making themselves busy, doing things, and trying to overlook or somehow shelve problems that need to be processed. These are people, a lot of you have Uranus and Cancer with Neptune and Libra square each other. And what you do is you don't complete and process your old relationships. So you're so busy with your life, you think they're going to go away by themselves. And then you try to get involved with somebody new, and you find out you got all these buttons on your body that people are pressing, and they're making you remember negative things, and you're coming out angry and hostile and temperamental. You know, and so cardinal afflictions, power patterns with cardinal afflictions is what I call the freight train to hell, or people that don't really meditate enough and center themselves enough, segue, so to speak, to analyze, identify the problems in their life and just give them a significant process and completion. And people say, what is a process for? Well, I'll tell you what a process is. If you have a tumor on your body, you're going to cut it off and throw it away or burn it up, right? And if you have something in your life that hurts or that's holding you down, I'm not saying it's a tumor, but I say it needs to be cut out and tossed away. It doesn't like you have to say that tumor, you bad tumor, the hell with you. You say, God bless you, tumor. You've been my experience. You've been my lesson, and now I have to let you go. You know, so process means removing the criminal from the scene of the crime. If it's a bad career, a bad childhood, a bad parent, a bad spouse, a bad relationship, or whatever, even parents may need to be put on the shelf and said goodbye to until the karma is allowed to absolve through time. But you know, the biggest problem we often have is we, with power blocks in our chart, we hang on to negative career situations. We hang on to tons of negative relationships. I know this one girl who's still in love with five people. this is choking me up. You get involved with these people, and they go, well, I'm still in love with Bill, and I'm still in love with Fred, and I'm still in love with Robert from my ninth grade, and I'm still... And they go, oh, great, this person has no process, no completion, and obviously their soul bowl is all filled up, and they have no room for Farley, and eventually this relationship's going to blow, because this person is carrying around a bag of negative tricks with them. A bunch of relationships that didn't work, that's negatives. If it doesn't work, the machine broke down. The machine broke down, you can maintain it only so long, and then you either got to trade it in or get rid of it. You know what I mean? A lemon is a lemon, whether it's a car or a relationship. Okay, I hope you like this topic. I don't know, this topic came to me right before I did the show, and it was like a majority of energies that kind of flew into my right brain, whatever. But still, power patterns are important. A lot of you have grand trines in your chart. A grand trine is a symbol of someone that has done well for himself and the world. It's a very dharmic aspect. It's a positive, confident, loving, compassionate placing. It usually means you have three planets in similar elements, like three planets each in fire, Aries, Leo, and Sag, or three planets each in Earth, Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. They all make a triangle if you connect them. Or three planets in the air, Aquarius, Libra, Gemini. Or three planets in the water, Pisces, Scorpio, Cancer. That is a grand trine. When you have three planets around the same degree in the same element, that's definitely a power placing, power pattern. John F. Kennedy had that. Some, my dad and mom have it. Roger Reinhardt has it. These are people that are some of the most wonderful people in the whole world. You want to depend on these people. But some of the laziest people in the world have grand trines. People that inherit money from their families. People that are on welfare are people that are just put in a situation where they don't have to work because the money comes from whatever source. Not really people on welfare that don't deserve it, but people that would get themselves secretly on welfare, you know, and maybe on 4 or 5 welfares. You know, that's, they have grand trines in their chart, and they could misuse their power and end up with a grand square in the next lifetime. Grand square aspects usually mean that you have four planets in one of the families of cardinal, fixed, or mutable. The cardinal grouping, the freight train to hell, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. If you have one in each sign around the same degree and you connect them, it'll make a square, which we call a grand square. The opposite ends of each corner would make a cross or two oppositions. That's called a grand square and a grand cross. It is the symbol of ancient Atlantis. It is the most powerful pattern conceivable in the chart because this is the symbol of the true phoenix, or the person that goes through a lot and rises from the ashes. My mother has a grand square and a grand cross in her chart, and even though she hasn't gone through lots of personal problems, what she's experienced as far as what other people have gone through in her life, the losses that she's had from friends and relatives, and the surgeries my dad's gone through she's had to deal with, and just, you know, lots of family situations and such. So it's a very heavy pattern, the grand square and the grand cross pattern. There's also a pattern called a kite, which is a grand trine. On one end, there's another planet which will have two sextiles to it, which makes it look more than a triangle, like a kite. That's also a power pattern that people can do a lot with. Interesting part of today's topic is that you don't have to be born with a grand trine or a grand square or a grand cross or a kite in your chart to have a power pattern, because all of our charts are lit up with these patterns during the transits. Right, I have Leo Sag planet, so whenever anything goes into Aries, grand trines all over the place. So we do get these patterns in our chart from any trine you have in your chart. When another planet's moving to a similar element, it'll light up a grand trine or a grand square or whatever. Of course, obviously, grand square transits not always are the most pleasant transits, because you got to say goodbye to a majority of your life usually. And also, we have what is called a finger of God, the finger of God. And that happens when you have two planets, one on each side, in conjunct the same planet in a focal point. Like, let's say if you start with Leo, you go 5 signs to one side, you'll get Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn. You go 5 signs to the other side, you'll get Pisces. So we find that each sign has two signs that quinks it, or in conjunct it. Like Leo has Pisces and Capricorn, Virgo would have the sign before Capricorn would be, let's see, Virgo, excuse me, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Aquarius, and Aries would quinks Virgo, and then Pisces and Taurus would quinks Libra, and so on. Well, anyway, if you get two inconjuncts, if you get two quinkses or inconjuncts, which is an aspect that means one planet is exactly 150 degrees, or five full signs away, almost exactly, and they're both in conjunct the same sign. Like you'd get Pluto in Capricorn and Moon in Pisces, in both of them in conjunct the Sun in Leo, then that person has a finger of God on his Sun. And that is one of the toughest power patterns around, because that means guilt and alienation and rejection and remorse and regret surround the baby as they're growing up. When they have one or more in conjuncts, if they have two on one planet, that is a finger of God. Hey, what do you think of that topic today? I hope I get saluted for you for doing that. I was inspired today for some unknown reason. I don't know.